Well, since the kids were already right in the midst of this story, let's continue with it. Let's go to Exodus 31. All right, Exodus 31 and verse 2 says, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft." The Israelites are about to build the temple. And God's been speaking to Moses. And now he tells him that he has set aside some individuals to do the work thereof. Moses is going to oversee it along with Aaron. But now they're told that this individual, along with some others, have been given the ability of making certain that the aspects of design, engineering, and the architecture of the temple will be good to God's standard. Let's drop down to verse 6. "And moreover, I have appointed with him Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given skill to all the skillful, so that they may make all that I have commanded you." So God is commanding through all these different individuals how the temple is going to be built, what's going to be built over. And when I say all of it, this is going to be the most elaborate tent in the world, because they're on the move, right? They're out in the wilderness, and they're going to pick up and move from time to time. So it has to be somewhat of a temporary dwelling, something that they can pick up and carry with them. But because it's for God, it's going to be pretty elaborate. Sometimes we use the Taj Mahal of tents. I've never seen the Taj Mahal. I don't know if I've ever even seen pictures of the inside. I've seen it from the outside, pictures of it. But that's supposed to be a very elaborate building. I don't know that it's the most elaborate building in the world. But this tent was going to be the most luxurious or the best in the world. The furniture that was going to be in it was going to be crafted by God's command. The Ark of the Covenant, which Sarah and the kids just talked about real briefly, that needed to be crafted. The curtains that were inside the tent, outside the tent, the rods that held the curtains. The fact that everything, all the utensils that was going to be used in it, and the fact that everything had symbolism to it. So they had to pay attention to detail. In that passage that we just read, let's go back up to verse 3. It says, "I have filled him," meaning Bezalel, "with the divine spirit." So God has inputted into Bezalel something that he didn't have previously. Now, you and I have been given the Holy Spirit. We have something that we previously didn't have. Just kind of keep that in mind. But it says that he was also given with ability. What could that mean? Well, as a goldsmith, I can tell you that the dexterity of my hands, the finesse of my hands, I work with things that are fairly small at times. Being able to hold my hands steady, I need that ability. My eyesight, I really need that. And again, because this temple was for God, we think about the larger aspects, But I'm sure there was some very small details that they paid great attention to the point where extra eyesight was needed. They didn't have the luxury of working under a microscope. Today, I literally have a microscope that is mounted on a mast on my bench, and I can swing it over and put it right in front of me and work on anything I want to. So I think for Bezalel and for some of the others, God blessed them with the dexterity of their hands, but also their eyesight, so that they could do this really fine, detailed work. It says in verse 3 that he gave them intelligence and knowledge in every kind of craft. I also enjoy working with wood as a woodworker. And there is a term used there very often called joinery. Joinery is where we take two different items and we somehow want to connect them together. How are we going to do it? You know, if it's two pieces of wood and I want to make a right angle, but I need some durability so that somebody could step on this piece of the right angle, this horizontal plane, and it doesn't collapse on them, the joinery here has to be very tight and solid to hold that up. Or maybe because of what he said, he gave them ability and intelligence. Maybe the intelligence was, oh, if someone's going to step here, maybe I need to add an extra brace on a diagonal here. And I have to join now three pieces of wood together so that this step will be strong and durable. Joinery can be something like putting wallpaper on a wall. How are you going to join the paper to the wall so that it stays there for decades? Well, you and I have glue. We have super glue. We have duct tape. They didn't have all of that. They had some, I believe they probably had knowledge of some adhesive materials that had a quality of stickiness to them. One of the things that I'm still not certain how they went about doing it, but the two rods or stakes that were used for the Ark of the Covenant, remember, it couldn't be touched by humans after it was created. When it was in the middle of being, or while it was being created, it was fine for the humans that were building it to touch it. But once it becomes God, can't touch it. He made that very clear. So he gave them a means of carrying this object, the ark, in a way so that they wouldn't carry it. And how he did that is he had rings fashioned, put on the sides or the corners of the ark, and through those rings would go a rod. And then there'd be people at each end holding up the rod, which in turn would hold up the stake. But it says those rods were made of wood, however, they were clad in gold. I don't know how they clad them in gold, so that it would be long-lasting. So one of the things that can be done, you know, to clad something in gold is to take a piece of gold, and gold is very, very malleable, which means it will spread out and spread out and spread out, kind of like dough. You know, you put like bakery dough, bread dough on the counter, and it will kind of slump up into a mound a little bit, but you can pad on it. But then you can take the roller out and you can roll it out and it just gets thinner and thinner and thinner, and it goes for quite a while before it actually wants to crack on you. Well, gold is the same way. You can take a piece of gold and you can hammer it down to finer than what we call foil, aluminum foil. It'll be even thinner than that. And then it's so thin that you can apply that to almost any surface, and now you have gold plating of a sort. But that's not going to hold up, so because you got to think about now the ark has the rings on it, and the two rods are going to go through the rings, and they're going to pick up the ark, and those rings are going to become a hinge point or a carrying point, and there's going to be a lot of wear, because they're out in the wilderness, and they're walking, and every now and then one of the guys stumbles just a little bit. And so that ring is constantly in motion on that rod, and the gold, God would have it so that the gold would remain. So how did they do that? I'm not really certain. Maybe they wrapped it and made, you know, a heavier layer of gold or a sheet of gold and wrapped it around. But then there would be a seam. How did they close up the seam? I don't know. But God instilled in them ways to do all of that. Verse 6, it says, "And I have given skill to all the skillful." So for Bezalel and the others, we shouldn't consider that they were unknown in this field of carpentry, of goldsmithing, of fabric. They had some skill in it, but God chose them to give them a greater skill in their crafts. These men had a history of acquiring and practicing knowledge and skills. And now God was blessing them with extra ability so they could work on his temple. So my first question for you is, are we, you and I, in a position that God could or would use us to build his temple? Have we developed some knowledge and some skill set that he would have us build his temple? Shouldn't we be in a position where he would ask us to build his temple? Have we already been asked to help build his temple? We got to remember that we were created in God's likeness so that he would be magnified. We were created to be stewards over all that was created, that it would be multiplied. And you and I are to be walking temples of God, our Creator, and we've been called to be priests in his kingdom. Bezalel and Oholiab were found skillful. They were consistently working not only at their crafts, but also in obtaining more knowledge and gaining greater skill sets. That's the reason God chose them. So shouldn't we be found consistently obtaining more knowledge and gaining greater skill sets? If we go to Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." So here we've got quite a warning, don't we? But we also get a clue as to what kind of knowledge we should be gaining in. It's God's word. Isaiah 11, verse 1. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." So not only are we to be like Christ, but just like we looked at last week, our Savior wants to give us everything we need to endure to the end and be priests in his kingdom. In a sense, building his temple. So So our primary knowledge is to be built upon God's word. Bezalel and Aholiab were found skillful in this knowledge. God didn't choose them simply because they knew how to work a needle and thread or work with gold or work with wood. He first considered their spiritual knowledge of him and their desire of that knowledge. Our secondary knowledge should be of God's creation. How to steward it in ways so that it is increased. Not simply maintained, but increased. So how do we spend our days? How much of our day is spent in acquiring new or deeper knowledge? So primarily, it should be in God's word and his will. But then along with that, for the physical, for his creation, do we seek new knowledge and new skills when it comes to his creation? And that would include a lot of the skill sets that these men had to have to build the temple. And it's not just the trades. How much of our day is spent in gaining knowledge that will greater enhance our skills at becoming a priest and a steward of all God created? So we have to ask ourselves, am I one who simply gets up at the third snooze alarm in the morning, gets dressed, goes to work, and I take item X from over here, and I put item X into slot X, and I do it again, and again, and again, until it's time to go home. I go home, maybe get something to eat, and I plop down on my chair or the couch, and I grab a fiction novel or the remote to some mindless TV. And my day's done. How much of our day was in prayer? Did we start our day with prayer? A time when we're asking and trying to realize God's will. Father, what would you have me do today? You created me for something today. You woke me up this morning. What would you have me do? How much of our day is in his word, putting effort into gaining the knowledge in how we should go about everything or what we should go about, because there are some things we should stay away from. How much of your day was spent in learning new skills? So what's the last new skill you learned? How much of your day was spent practicing a skill you already have, enhancing it? There's nothing wrong with a little bit of entertainment. But after that hour of reading a novel or watching an episode or two of your favorite series, do we realize it was simply entertainment and we really gained nothing? When was the last time we truly pursued a new skill? Gardening. Maybe taking up a musical instrument. What about public speaking? I have a sister-in-law who joined Toastmasters here a few years ago and really promotes that pretty heavily as far as what it did for her in terms of interacting with the public. What about learning how to change a faucet or electrical switch on the wall? What about figuring out how to use a spreadsheet? Investing? If we're not willing to give God and His Word ample time during our day, then any other skill will eventually become worthless. But if we are diligent in that, any of those skills and many, many others will become very, very valuable, not simply to ourselves, but to many other people around us. Malachi 2 and verse 4. Know then that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may hold, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was a covenant of life and well-being, which I gave him. This called for reverence, and he revered me, and he stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in integrity and uprightness, and then he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So here we've got an example of somebody that was seeking God's word, his will, his way, also had other skills that he worked on, and he honored God through those skills, but then he also blessed many others around him, like Levi, and Bezalel, and Oholiab. Our skills should be a glory to God and a blessing to everyone around us. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 5. See, just as the Lord my God has charged me, I now teach you statutes and ordinances for you to observe in the land that you are about to enter and occupy. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is wise and a discerning people. So look like what the foundation of God's word and will lays for us. Wisdom and discernment. In Proverbs 8, in verse 1, does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Did you notice that the word she there means singular? That wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. Wisdom comes from knowledge that was put into practice, thereby gaining skill and understanding. King Solomon, or when he was ordained as king, he realizes that he has some knowledge, but he also realizes that he'll be lacking without God's gift of a divine spirit. That same spirit that was given to Bezalel. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 9, Solomon asked God, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people? We need to follow Solomon's example. We must start our day in God's word, asking him how he would have us go about the day, and then we need to be willing to do just as he prescribes. A Last year, my new skill was learning how to be a pilot. But not before asking God. I knew it was going to cost a lot of money. It was going to take a lot of time. And if God would have me doing something else with that money or that time, then I didn't want to pursue it. I waited for him to somehow convey to me that it was okay to pursue being a pilot. And he did. This year, I'm working at being a better pilot. I can fly, but I don't want to be just a pilot. I want to be a really good pilot. So here in the next couple months, I'll start going after my instrument rating. But along with that, I'm looking at acquiring new skill and developing greater skill in business. Also an investment. Both of these I've dabbled in or had some skill set for a number of years now. And I don't want these things just for myself. I talk quite a bit with God before going into aviation. I want to do this so that I can serve others. Going into a business, starting up a new corporation, I really hope one day that it blesses a lot of people. Investment. I could say I don't need more right now. But God doesn't tell us to stop investing just because we have enough of something. He still wants it multiplied. He tells us as human beings to go fill the earth, procreate, to multiply. Parable of the talents. He expects us, the physical things he places in our hands, to not simply keep them safe, put it in a jar, go bury it, stick it out back, and if he asks for it, say, here it is, I still have it. No, he wants to see that we did something with it. Because the parable of the talents, he told the one person who did just that, put it in a can, buried it. You should have at least went to the bank and had it make interest, even if it was minuscule. I want to be a better priest. I want to work on that skill set. I want to be a better servant. That takes time with God's word and with him. What's his will? Because again, if I'm wasting my time and my energy in the wrong area, I'm not being a good servant or priest. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you were forewarned, beware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. We are forewarned that we're not carried away with error. Well, how do we know if it's error if we never read it? We never ask for God's guidance. So what needs to be added or deleted from our daily life? Anything? Are we spending too much time in something? Are we not spending enough time in something? James 3 and verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. We weren't created to simply be on the lookout for someone as wise as Solomon. We were created to strive to be as wise as Solomon through good works, through understanding, which is God's word, along with utilizing the God-given wisdom as Solomon did. Paul didn't want all of this simply for himself. He wanted it for the entire body of Christ to be pursuing it. In Colossians 2 and verse 1, he writes, "For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So again, through Christ, we can gain new skill set, gain greater knowledge, and benefit others around us while glorifying God. Colossians 2 and verse 4. Because our foundation is God's word and his will. Colossians 2 and verse 4. "I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments." Arguments like "once saved, always saved." Are you? And if you hear that phrase given by somebody else, do you know how to respond to them? What to respond with? We must daily be gaining in knowledge and skills. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. "For we are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." God prepared beforehand. What does that mean? That means throughout your life, you've had yearnings, longings, likes of things that you'd kind of like to pursue a little bit. And they're probably not the exact same pursuits I have. Have you taken time to pursue some of those things? Are you taking time to pursue some of those things? First Timothy 3 and verse 14. "I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the bulwark of the truth." Notice how we just keep going back to that foundation of God's word and his will. You and I have been given opportunity to help build the temple of God. Are we making the best use of all of our time? Are we expanding in knowledge and skill? Revelations 3 and verse 10. "Because you have kept my word of patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. If you conquer, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You will never go out of it. I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from my God out of heaven, and on my new name." and my own new name. We're walking temples of God. He wants us to be a pillar in his temple. We're to be priests in his kingdom. Are we working on our skill sets? We start with the foundation of God's word and his will, and we add to that knowledge that will multiply, expand his creation. Sometimes that's building a home, a business, a family, relationships, but it's always building something, isn't it? Expanding it.